This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Cooden. We'll have an update from Sierra Doctor as well. There's a small area of rain and snow showing up on radar this morning in central Minnesota. That system moving off to the east, looking at rainfall totals from the past 24 hours. Bow Bells received 1.87 inches. Steele, North Dakota, just over an inch in the rain gauge. Greenbush, Minnesota, 26 hundredths. Langdon, 18 hundredths. Grand Forks, just 5 hundredths of an inch. The National Weather Service is forecasting less windy conditions today. Generally, highs in the 40s and 50s. There is a small chance of rain Thursday, but the rest of the week looks dry.
Well, as of Sunday, 80% of the U.S. soybeans and 61% of the corn crop has been harvested. In both cases, harvest progress is ahead of the five-year average. 79% of the winter wheat is planted.
Channel C technical agronomist Derek Crompton has been watching harvest progress. Crompton says the weather has been working in the farmer's favor.
Harvest has been moving right along. Obviously, I know some people like a little more rainfall for this fall for a recharge, but I don't think anybody's hardly taken more than one day off since harvest began and started. So it's going pretty smoothly and quickly. I think for the majority of the guys out there, there's not a whole lot of soybeans left or down to the last couple of fields. And then corn harvest, you know, for a lot of people, the guys that got started on it early, they're almost to the end. And a lot of other guys that had sugar beet harvest in the middle of it, you know, it sounds like a lot of those guys are to the halfway point.
Crompton advises farmers to watch their corn rotation for 2023.
No, I think maybe just one other thing, you know, as we think about some of the trends that we've seen, it seems like the presence, especially in North Dakota, of corn rootworm on continuous corn acres seems to be on the increase. I've, you know, had a chance to look at half a dozen of those fields myself where damage was pretty severe. So I think the trend might be that we'll see more smart stacks and corn rootworm protection going on to continuous corn acres as we move into the next few years.
A United Nations spokesperson said urgent measures are needed to relieve the backlog of ships involved in the Black Sea grain deal. There are now 150 ships waiting at Istanbul to clear inspections. The UN is proposing spot checks rather than lengthy, full-blown inspections.
The World Trade Organization Director General brought together member countries for a special retreat to consider a new approach to agricultural trade negotiations. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala said changes are needed to overcome major differences that have shut down negotiations in the past. The Director General cited food insecurity, hoarding, market access, and special safeguard mechanisms as problems. The WTO has been negotiating agricultural trade for more than 20 years with little success.
Tight corn supplies are being reflected in firming basis values at some country elevators. Total Farm Marketing market analyst John Heinberg says the cash market is king.
You know, when you're starting to see the national corn index, their corn basis basically turned positive. And, you know, that's just a reflection of that weaker production that we got in the Western Belt. And realistically, this crop might be more focused on how do we get supplies from the east to the west versus getting things down the river for the export side. I think that's somewhere where we're seeing some strength. We got talk of, you know, cattle feeders in the Western Corn Belt paying well over the market just to find a way to secure supplies.
And Heinberg expects this futures market to trade mostly sideways.
Especially in corn, with the way things are there, beans are going to stay extremely volatile, focusing on that South American weather. If that crop feels like it's coming along nicely, which we got a good start to it down there, this market might start discounting beans with the impression that, you know, hey, we're going to get these 150 million metric tons of beans out of Brazil this year. You know, so of the two, like I said, corn probably the one that's got a little bit more potential to the upside. Not a big move, maybe 7 and 7.25 if for some reason we get a breakout on some good demand or something along those those lines, where beans could be the one that's got the most risk to them just because that impending global supply could improve. And we're really still keeping a good eye on what's happening with the Chinese demand.
The ADM Enderlin Sunflower Crush Plant has rolled out the new 2023 new crop prices. New Sun with a cash price of $25.75, an Active God contract at $25.25, High Ole Lakes, $26.75 cash, $26.25 for Active God contracts. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Low water levels on the lower Mississippi continues to hamper grain movement and pressure prices. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says harvest pressure also played a role in yesterday's grain markets.
Probably going to start to see a wind down in the harvest pressure, but one of the problems we're seeing this year is there's starting to be large piles of corn in the eastern belt as well as the western belt. It's, as we said, a slow export pace, and there's even some of the grain terminals are telling producers that they won't accept grain because they don't have anywhere to go with it. They just have nowhere to unload this crop because of the snafus that we're seeing associated with shipping it down the Mississippi River.
And that will have a ripple effect on basis levels across the country.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very costly to try and send things out by truck or by rail. So that means the basis levels have to widen out. And you know, we haven't heard this term for a few years, but it may come down to even some of these elevators declaring a force majeure. If they cannot get product shipped, they may end up just canceling some contracts that producers have previous sales on already.
Live cattle futures rallied to a 7-year high to start this week. The latest cattle on feed report confirmed a tightening of supplies, which pushed futures prices higher. The trade will be looking for the biannual cattle inventory report in January to confirm the trend. USDA's cold storage report was released after the close yesterday. Red meat supplies are up 1% from last month, up 17% from 1 year ago.
Weaned calves will start to filter through sale barns. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more on how to make the most on sale day.
From branding shots to fall boosters, there's a simple way to receive top dollar when marketing weaned calves. South Dakota State University cow-calf field specialist Olivia Munson says the best thing a producer can do is have a good health program in place.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to think about in terms of getting those calves prepared to sell on sale day. You know, whether or not we're going to sell those calves as falling calves or whether we're going to retain them and get them, you know, a good 45 to 60 days weaned before we're going to sell them. But ultimately, I think when it comes down to preparing to sell those calves in the sale barn, you know, one of the things that we saw when we collected some data last fall and this early spring was that, you know, calves having vaccines or their vaccinations in the spring and in the fall plays a huge role on price received for calves coming into the sale barn.
Uniform lots of calves can generate a premium as well.
Another thing that we saw was just, you know, the effect of lot size on these calves. The larger lot size we had, the better price received for those calves. And simply that's what we speculate is due to the fact that order buyers can really kind of more easily put together a load lot or a pot load of calves. So some things to think about, I guess, potentially working with some other neighbors or even really working with your sale barn to ensure that your sale barn's helping you get those calves in a certain order or a certain line so that, you know, maybe they're following a larger lot of calves, but they're really able to kind of piece those calves together with another lot to make a pot load.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The Certified Angus Beef brand had its second largest sale volume in history in the past year. Total sales topped 1.2 billion pounds. That's nearly 2% higher than the previous year. Certified Angus Beef licensed packers identified 16 million fed cattle as eligible for the brand. That represents 70% of slaughter steers and heifers.
National Milk Producers Federation and United Dairy Industry Association are in Denver this week for a joint annual meeting. National Milk Senior Vice President of Communications, Alan Berga, said there'll be a focus on this record year for dairy exports. There'll also be discussions about record domestic consumption.
Per capita dairy consumption is now the highest it has been since 1959, even as markets and product mixes have changed. And of course, there's going to be discussion about modernization of the federal milk marketing order system. This has been a concern for the industry for several years. You really got an impetus in the pandemic when you really saw how that volatility in prices really created some stresses on the system. And now that we've seen that stress test and been through it, it really is incumbent for this industry to look proactively at what 21st century federal milk marketing orders look like.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. Meat Export Federation will honor former U.S. Trade Ambassador Richard Lighthizer and Leanne Sanders, who's a leader in the food verification and traceability effort. Lighthizer was part of trade negotiations with China, Japan, Mexico, and Canada while in the Trump administration. Sanders is co-founder of an animal identification and food verification system. She previously worked for PM Beef Holdings, where she developed the first ever USDA process verified program for U.S. beef.
A USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service reports indicating a more serious potato wart problem in Canada's Prince Edward Island is a serious concern for the U.S. potato industry. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles.
Basically, the spread of the disease on PEI is likely larger than has been indicated. And also the pathways for the disease to get into the U.S. through either seed potatoes or potatoes for consumption, soil, equipment moving back and forth across the border, that the mitigation measures have to be ramped up in order to prevent this disease from getting into the U.S.
And Quarles says protecting the U.S. potato industry must be the top priority.
We don't have it. We don't want to get it. The impact on our industry would be huge if it got into the United States. Obviously we want to work with USDA, CFIA, to be methodical and reasonable about the mitigation measures that get put in place. But the first priority for us is to protect the U.S. industry from what could be an absolutely devastating disease outbreak here in the U.S. if it ever got going.
As we check markets this morning, we are down 7.75 cents for the December Minneapolis wheat contract. 9.50 is the quote. March down 7.75. Chicago wheat down 3.75 for the Dease contract. KC wheat down a nickel. For corn, we're down 2.5 for December. 2.79 is the quote. March, 2.85 and a half, down 2.25. Soybeans with small gains were 2 cents higher for November. 13.74. March at 13.90 3/4, that's 1.5 cents higher. As we check in on the farm calendar, this is the week of the National FFA Convention. All the blue and gold jackets heading to Indianapolis, and the Red River Farm Network heading there as well. Sierra Doctor will be reporting from Indy, and the National FFA Convention reports beginning tomorrow and continuing through the week. Also on the farm calendar, South Dakota State University has its Swine Education and Research Facility Swine Day. That'll be Tuesday, November 1st, 1 week from today. Of course, that will be in Brookings. The North Dakota FFA Foundation with their first ever Blue and Gold Gala. It'll be November 5th. That'll take place in Fargo, North Dakota. And NDSU Extension is putting together a free event called Women in Ag, Leading, Linking, and Learning. Their next session, November 7th, they'll be talking about tax planning with a session in McCluskey. Have yourself a great Tuesday. This is the Red River Farm Network.